Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, prisoner advocate and host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Stephen Bobo and Danielle Andrews are back with us again today to speak more on problems in the communities and prisons affecting the young men and women, and many who went to prison at an early time in their lives are now much older and still incarcerated. We have a very serious problem of mass incarceration in the United States, and a lot of our youth are being brought down because there are no role models. Stephen is a role model. Danielle and others like him are coming forward to start advocating for these young people. So let's welcome once again Stephen Bobo and Daniel Andrews once again. And Stephen and Daniel, you want to briefly introduce yourself and then carry on.
Okay. Hi, my name is Danielle Andrews. I am a vice president of In the School to Prison Pipeline. I'm an advocate for children, young adults at risk. I'm also an advocate for autism. I've been working with people, individuals with special needs for about 20 years now. And, yeah, Mr. Bobo.
Thank you, thank you. Hello, my name is Stephen Bobo, of course. I am the founder of Stop the Prison, School to Prison Pipeline. Also, like Danielle, I've been involved with this, just the pipeline here, about a year and a half. But I also have, like I said before, I am an ex-inmate and ex-correction officer. So, yes, I have seen so many young men to come into the prison system and just be there like they're lost. Like they're, most of these kids that go inside are lost. And you hate to see it happen, but it does happen. And we have to understand that the people that are up there in Washington, D.C., are the ones who could actually try to put a stop to this. All this over the mass incarceration is what is what's going on. You have, like I said, 17-year-old, 16-year-old in an adult population in prison. And that doesn't make any sense. That's the main thing that I am trying to get people to understand. These young men that go to jail, they do not know why they're going to jail. They make decisions that's just not rational. That a lot of these men don't, and women don't have the mentality, and I'm not saying they're silly, but they're still think like children at that age. And you cannot send these key people into prison because you want to make an example out of them. You can't make an example out of everybody. I'm saying, well, you know, you have a person like Charles Manson, you make an example out of him. But like Dante or Terry that has to go to prison, 17-year-old going to prison, you can't put them in a cell with them. That's not right. So, Danielle, I know you have some things to say, Danielle, and I want you to go ahead and say what you want to say because I want to cut you off tonight because I want you to hear people hear your story too.
Thanks, Stephen. Okay. I work with kids, and a lot of people think when we start talking about the school-to-prison pipeline, we start talking about junior high and high school, and really it starts a whole lot earlier. It starts in the elementary schools. I work in an elementary school, and when you see, like, you see your kindergartners, first graders come in, and they are like they're going to Disneyland. They're so happy to go in that to school. But when you start seeing about third, fourth grade, you start to see those behaviors coming out, and that resentment of having to go to school, and that not really wanting to be there for various reasons. Because adults tend to think that kids don't have any stress, and they do. And a lot of times it comes from unstable households, changes in their life that they're not privy to. It's just they're just meant to deal with the change and gone about their business. And I think this mentality of children being seen and not heard is very outdated, especially in a very complicated world. Matter of fact, there's a student at my school, and this child is 8 years old, and she was already taken away from her mother, who was an addict and a prostitute, who had actually traded this child for drugs. She's also been taught to steal. And now she was taken away, and she had a grandfather that would come. She has brothers. She has four brothers. And the grandfather would come and get the brothers and leave her behind. And so finally, when Children's Services got involved and took this child out of the home and put her with her uncle and aunt, she started to show progress, and she was happier, and she was safe and things like that. But then just at the end of the month, beginning of this month, we get word that her uncle and aunt are giving up guardianship of her, but they're keeping her brothers. So if that's not a recipe for a child to go into the pipeline, I don't know what is, because nobody is telling this child that she has any value.
Right. That's so true.
So twice inside of a year, this child has been traded from her mother to an aunt and uncle, to now a stranger. And she's a little white girl, and they put her in a foster home full of black kids. So you got a culture shock, and now you got all this stuff going on, and she has no idea. She has no idea what's going on.
And that's something that we do need to address. The system needs to understand that a lot of these kids that do get in trouble don't understand, like I said before, don't understand why things are happening the way they are. Like the little girl you just said was taken away from her mother because the mother was an act and a prostitute, and they took her away and put her with another family member. Then the family member said they don't want to deal with her, and now you put them in a foster care that's a predominantly African American, and she's Caucasian. So yes, that's another culture shock. She most likely doesn't understand how to deal with an African American household. So that's like putting an African American in a Caucasian household. We're not going to understand how to deal with some of those things. So there is a whole bunch of confusion that this little girl is going to go through. We learn different, you know, I say this, we learn differently than Caucasian and African Americans learn differently. And sometimes that's because the system allows that to happen. You know, the system always puts us as African Americans as bad influences, or we don't understand, they're not smart enough to be in these certain type of classes. And there are a whole lot of African American kids that are smart enough and smarter than most of the people. And people need to understand that. It's not a race thing. It's not a race thing. Like I've always said, it's a kid thing. It's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's not a brown thing. It's a kid thing. So people need to understand that. Quit putting these kids in the system just because they have dealt with certain situations that happen in their lives. Like, just because one of these kids get in trouble because their father or their mother wasn't around, or the mother, like you said, was locked up for prostitution, or father went to jail because he was doing stupid stuff, selling drugs, or he went to jail for murder. So now you want to say this son, this child, is going to be a problem because he is having problems in his life. That's not always true. This child just might need to be talked to, somebody to talk to, listen to. And like you said, Danielle, before, and the people that I have in our group that talk about have kids and deal with the children, try to say that that's all a lot of the kids want to do is be heard. You need to listen to a child. Go ahead.
What really gets me is that this child is also she has some academic developmental disability. So, and I'm already starting to see, though, in her these behaviors. Like she's going back to picking up things that don't belong to her and hiding them in her book bag. Telling false truths or tattletaling on people that really haven't done anything. You know, she's getting into these habits that we see in children that are at risk. Children, like, by the time they get to middle school and stuff, you know, a child that lies a lot, a child that does steal, a child that has outbursts or cries easily. You know, these are things that we need to look at in these kids when they're little, and you can turn it around, because by the time that they are 10, 11 years old, it's cemented. Mm-hmm. Those habits have become part of them, and nothing short of intensive therapy, which thanks to our government has been cut so dramatically that it's not even an issue anymore. Mental health things have been cut for adults, much less children. So by the time this child is 10 or 11 years old, if somebody doesn't catch her right now and let her know that she has some kind of value.
That's right.
Then the outlook is very grim. And I wish that adults and parents and teachers would realize that children are just that. They're children, and adults They're not little adults. And adult problems do not belong on children's shoulders.
That's so true. Okay, my question that I have for you, and you could probably answer this, I'm pretty sure a lot of people want to know this. So do you think that children that are – do you think children, sometimes you hear adult being treated like adults? You know, these little kids set are 12 years old, and he's helping raising two of his brothers and sisters because mom's got to work or the mom and daddy not there, or they're out at the club or they're out partying. So do you think that right there causes a lot of confusion, a lot of problems going on right now?
I think it does. I think it does. When you assign adult roles to children,
yep.
They get confused as to what their role is. And so they start to think that, well, heck, I'm mommy and daddy anyway right now, so if I want to do this, I should be able to do it. They do what they want. They're adults. They're treating me like an adult. So if I'm doing all the work, you know, the only thing
that's
I'm not doing is paying bills, and that's because I don't have a job because I'm 13 years old and can't get a job. But
right.
I think that when you assign adult duties to children, it confuses the roles.
Right.
Because then it teaches a child that, A, I can't trust adults.
Mm.
B,
and that's a big role.
I'm acting
right.
like an adult, so I might as well be able to do adult things.
Yes, there we go. And right there is the big, big one, because what you said, they throw me into an adult role. So like you just said, I know I should be able to do adult things. And then that's when you see these young girls and some of these young men
exactly.
that go out and have, especially the young girls, go out and have sex. I hate to say that, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. But they go out and have sex with adults. Now, the main problem there, the adults should know better. That is a child.
Yes.
That is a child. But
mm-hmm.
then you have the young girls who some of them don't look, some like the 13, 14-year-olds don't look like they're that young. They look like they're older because they have to be, and they carry themselves that way because, like you said, they're thrown in an adult role. So the whole thing is with that, we need to find out what is wrong, what has caused this situation that this young girl is acting the way she does. Don't put her in a penitentiary or juvenile facility. Something else is wrong that made her go out to start acting like this. She's stealing.
Mm-hmm.
She's putting stuff in their purse, putting stuff in their pocket. There's something else that's going on. Because you just don't wake up one morning and say, you know what, I'm going to go steal today. So that's something that's been in your head, and you keep thinking about it, you're doing it. Like I said once before, I told you, Danielle, when I used to work loss prevention here in Dayton, Ohio, I used to work at a place called McCory's, and I used to catch shoplifters. There was a young girl I watched on camera. I saw her walking out the door. She walked out the door with stuff that she paid for. But in her pocket, she had some eyeliner, and she's like 15. She had some eyeliner, and I stopped her. I said, you need to come upstairs with me. And I said, show me the receipt. I said, got everything. I said, what about that thing in your pocket? And she showed it to me. She started crying. I said, she's like, my mom don't let me wear makeup, so that's the only way I could get it if I had to take it like that. She wasn't going to let me buy it with the money she gave me to buy stuff. I said, so you think it was all right for you to steal it? I said, you know that they're going to press charges. They press charges for anything that's over a dollar. They press charges over a dollar. It costs more to me to do the case than it was for her to steal it. So I said, you know what? And truth by law, I had to call her parents to have them come and get them. But I didn't. I was wrong for that. I know that. But I didn't because, you know, I was going to try to give her a chance to give her a record juvenile. Now, all that we know that they're supposed to take stuff off your record at 18. But truthfully, if you're poor and a minority, they're not going to take it off your record. They say they do. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's right there. And like I said, I think I saved that little girl from having a record. I don't know whatever happened to her after that. But I felt good, but I felt bad because I felt like I did the wrong thing by letting her go like that. But I think I did the wrong thing. Hopefully she never got in trouble again after that. Maybe I scared her enough like that. But like I said, there's got to be more situations that men and women can do that for the kids because locking them up is not the answer.
It's not working.
Yes, ma'am, you're right. It's not working. They keep on doing the same thing. And we need people like that, like I did, or, you know, people like us that can go out there and talk for these kids because if the system would just take 20 minutes to listen to somebody who has been in the system or somebody who works with kids that are in the system or work with parents who have been in the system and say, hey, look,
this is what we need. This is what we need as a system that we can help these people. We don't need to lock them up. Let's try to teach them trades, like we said before. Give these parents and kids trades, especially these young kids. Get them some type of work, some type of thing to learn them what to do. Because when you're 17, 18, you know, sometimes you have to work at McDonald's. And I'm saying there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to learn something. Because you think about working in the streets, selling drugs, prostitution, doing whatever. Like you said, young girls are having sex for money, and they don't look like a little 14, 15-year-old girl. They don't look that way. They look like this 18, 19. And
well, then
it's
human trafficking. It makes them prime bait for human trafficking. And when you were saying a trade, well, I mean, a lot of people say college or school is not for everybody. Well, the thing about it is, I will say education is for everybody.
That may not mean
going to college, but go to barber school, go to trade school, learn to be an electrician, go to DeVry, go to, you know, their education is for everybody. College or university may not be for everybody because it's a whole different outlook. But
that's
education
true.
Is for everybody, and the more education you have, the more options you have. And I think that a lot of these kids do what they do as adults because they feel like they don't have options. And desperate people do desperate things.
That's
if you can give somebody an option or some choices, I think a lot of times these kids feel like they don't have a choice but to join a gang. They don't have a choice but to sell drugs. They don't have a choice. And like you said, locking them up is not the answer, because not only is it not a place for them, it is a training ground for teach them to do something different or more dangerous.
For criminal behavior.
You
that's exactly what it is. You mentioned something about
gangs. I'd like to have your feedback on what your thoughts are on these young people getting involved in gang, and maybe how it can probably be conquered or looked at or helped us in some situations like that. If you could both talk something about that, I'd be interested in having your feedback on that.
Okay, I think I get this one. I used to work at Job Corps in Dayton, Ohio, and they got kids from big cities, Chicago, Cleveland, stuff like that, Cincinnati. You know, this isn't that big, but still. Gang, they had a lot of gangs. They had Crips, they had Bloods, they had GDs, Gangster Disciples. They had all of them in there. And like I said, a lot of these kids that join gangs, and at the age of 15, 16 years old, join gangs, throwing up gang signs and tattoos of the logos on their arms, on their body, it's because they want to be part of something. Their household might not be their household is not stable. You know, they don't have that big brother or that mother or that father or that uncle that gets in their butt when they mess up. And that's a lot of these kids, and just like Daniel said, for a lot of these kids are raising themselves and their brothers and sisters. So they get out with a gang because they're looking for that protection. They're looking for mommy or dad. Daddy's not there, so somebody has to take care of me. It's like something, I get in trouble. So I go get my dad or my big brother in the gang. So they protect us. So that's what a lot of these gangs are, is protection. They can make money because they get a job because they're selling drugs. They're running drugs for the boss man and stuff like that, or bodyguarding for the boss man. That's because, you know, a lot of these young boys who get in gangs are bodyguards and runners for a lot of these drug boys because they think they're juvenile, so they can just get away with everything. You know, and then they're the ones who usually get hurt the most or get shot or get led up in the system, and we see them. You know, 15, 16 years old in prison, and they got more gunshots, got more holes than anything, the Swiss cheese, because they've been shot so many times, stabbed so many times. It's just, right now, the only thing I can think of, how we can stop this gang violence and these kids joining gangs, is have more mentors for these young men and young women, because young women are in the gangs also. That's what I think we need, more mentors, meaning more women mentors, more men mentors, to say, hey, look, I love you, man. I'm there for you. You have any problems, come talk to me. If I have a way to get you, we can go somewhere. I'll take you to the ball games. We can go to the mall. We can go to the library. We can learn how to do these type of things. But you do not need to be in a gang, Danielle.
And the girls I talk to the girls, and a lot of what I tell the girls is something that I wish I'd learned earlier. What I tell them is your worth. Your worth is not your body. Because the thing about it is, that boy that you chasing, that you running those drugs for, that you holding for, that's exactly what he's looking at you as a cabinet to hold his stuff that he just happens to fall on top of every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, you need to know your worth, because the young ladies that are in prison right now are in prison because of two things. They are either in prison for a narcotics charge that they took for their boyfriend, or they're in for gang activity. And a lot of people think that girls are not, they're softer than the boys. No, let me tell you, once you flip that switch on a girl, they are ruthless. And if you don't catch these girls in enough time to know their worth and to know, and I can't say the word because, you know, I don't know who all is listening, but that bad B, they want to be that bad B so bad. But the thing about it is there's always somebody going to be bigger and badder than you.
And that goes these young ladies
need to know
that
they have worth. They have worth more than their bodies. They are so smart.
True. And that's one thing.
You know, it's not about what you look like.
No, it's not. But, you know, there's a lot of things when you just said know their worth. And it goes back again to the father. And that's a big thing,
mm-hmm.
that fathers are in prison, and fathers don't care, don't pay no attention, or the dads leave home and go find the other woman. So here's the one thing with that. That's the main thing that a lot of these girls do, because now they don't have that male role model, that father figure.
Exactly.
My first love was my daddy. And so now they fall in love with anybody that put their hands on them, or like you said, selling dope, or like you said, they fall on top of them, and now they're pregnant. You know, and then he don't want to take care of that kid. So now you're a 17-year-old young lady, and you got two kids. So what are you supposed to do?
We keep putting this. I think sometimes it's unfair to keep putting all this blame on the father, because it all starts. I'm going to take responsibility, and I want more women to take responsibility for the man that you choose. Because, see, it's generational now. It's generational. Yeah. You know, the man that you chose to lay down with, you knew. You had to know from the giddy-up that this man wasn't on the up and up. And yet, you thought you could change him. Now, you done had a baby with this man who done upped and left and ain't got nothing to do with this little girl. So as a woman, own up to your mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Own up to it. Own up to your mistake of sleeping with him, but never call your child a mistake.
Come on now.
Put into their head
that I'm not worth anything.
That there's something is wrong with them. There is nothing
right.
wrong with them, and I don't like to get biblical on these type of things, but you are wonderfully and fearfully made.
That's right. That's right.
And you have a purpose. If you hear, you have a purpose. Now, your job is to find your purpose, and the purpose of these mothers that have absent fathers, girlfriend, hit your pantyhose up, admit to what you did wrong in this situation, and you try to make it right. Quit trying to relive your childhood. Those days are over. Once you had that kid, those days of clubbing is over. Quit trying to relive your childhood and raise your children. If the daddy ain't there, guess what? He ain't there. He isn't there anymore, and you got to raise these girls to say, hey, okay, you remember how hard we had it for Christmas? I don't want you to live through that. So this is what you need to do to avoid that.
That's true.
You see, your father is not here because of X, Y, and Z, so let's not pick a man who does X, Y, and Z.
That's true. And you know what? You got a point with that. Like I said, when I left my daughter, and it wasn't done, you know, I just didn't leave. You know, I went to prison, and she was only five years old, six years old, and those are days I can never get back. Years I can never get back,
mm-hmm.
and it hurts because I sit down and see the stuff that she does now, and she's not a bad kid, but there's some things I know if Daddy had been around. Daddy could have changed a lot of things, you know, and I think a lot of stuff she does, I'm false on myself too, because it wasn't all her mother. I can't going to blame her because sure did. She did the best thing she did. We had my mom and we had cousins and stuff like that stood up for her, was there for her. But there's nothing like a dad that loves their daughter
mm-hmm.
the right way. And nobody will ever be able to take daddy's first, that's your daughter's first love is dad. And if I'm sitting behind a jail cell, and I'm sitting in the county jail, I'm sitting behind that big, thick glass, and she's looking at me like, Daddy, come home, and touching, hitting the glass, and there's nothing I can do but sit there and watch her cry. So, you know, that makes a man feel low. It makes him feel bad. And I tell you, it's something that we all, as men, and I'm talking to all my men out there, if you have a child, go find, get your child. Tell your child you love them. Because we are the ones that have to make it right. Because if we don't make it right, it's never going to be right. We can't depend on the mothers and the grandmothers and the aunts to take your job because you don't want to be man enough to take care of the seed that you laid. You laid down with her. She just didn't make it. The last time I knew one woman who had a session and she didn't have sex was Mary. And none of y'all have birthed the Messiah. So my thing
is this.
Take your child. Be a man and take care of your kid. Be a man, take care of your kid. I know it's hard. I know there's things you want to go out and kick it out the streets with your boys and stuff like that, but sometimes kick it with your son. Kick it with your daughter. Sit down with them. Let's find out what's going on. Because that you find out what's going on with them, sometimes you can prevent stuff from happening.
Yes. Talk. Talk. You got to talk to these kids. Talk to your nieces, your nephews. Talk to that kid down the street. That you always
That's
see
right.
playing outside by himself.
That's right.
You
There's
know, talk to this kid because you
himself.
Never know. A simple
That's
hello,
right.
a simple, hey, how you doing, and a genuine interest in how they're doing might change their whole outlook. Like, you know, Mr.
That's
Johnson
right.
always asked me how I was. And maybe one day they'll come to you, you know, Mr. Johnson, I'm not doing so well today. Mama didn't come home last
right.
night, and I had to get me and my sister up, and we had to go to school.
Right, right.
You know, form relationships with these kids. Don't talk at them. Talk to them. The whole
you know,
key
that,
is relationship.
That was so funny when we was at the hospital, and I was talking to that. Remember, I just started talking to that baby because she was screaming and crying, and I
oh,
just
yeah.
talked to her. I just started talking, and she never did cry again. Like I said, and her mother's like, you are the first person who's ever talked to my child and stopped them from crying. I said, it's not that I did. I just paid attention and asked them what was going on, why you making all that noise. I just talked to him. You know, I didn't yell at him. Like, I didn't say, shut up, all that crying. I just talked to him, and they listened. And so,
mm-hmm.
like I said, sometimes it's just the way you talk to people. You have to let these kids know that, hey, you're not a mistake. I am here to listen to what you got. Sometimes you just sit back. Remember what we just said about going to church, doing our church thing. We going to prison. We just need, don't preach at them. Don't preach at them because they're not going to listen to you.
Nope.
Talk
tune you right
to
out.
Them, find out what's wrong. They'll tune you out. That's right.
Okay, Stephen and Nick, I'm sorry. I'm not with you today. Danielle. We're running.
Yes.
We're running out of time. Again, before we hang up and before we leave the show, and everyone please know that next Friday we will pick up on where Danielle and Stephen have left off, same time at 6:30, from 6:30 to 7 p.m., and the call-in number is 657-383-1630. Stephen, if you can, once again, give them your contact information and anyone that is interested in contacting you for, you know, to help or whatever.
Yes, my name is Stephen Bobo, STEVENBOBO. I'm on Facebook, and my phone number will be on there, too. We do have a private line number now, so you guys will be able to call us on there. And Danielle's on there, too, Danielle Andrews. Well, she can find us on the pipeline thing on Facebook. So I know our time's getting real low. So thanks for tuning in. Please call us back. See us next week.
Yeah, next week I will actually have some hard statistics from the United Way as to the links between poverty and the inner city and our children, and how likely they are to end up in the pipeline and end up in prison. I went to a meeting earlier today, and the statistics were staggering.
Great. So we will have you. We will look forward to next Friday, same time, 6:30. I really appreciate both of you being on. What you're talking about is really interesting. It's very much needed, and I hope that the mothers and fathers out there, and even the people in the community, all these resources that are out there, please listen in next Friday. Hear more about the youth and what is needed to help them, to prevent them from that school to prison pipeline. Thank you so much for being on with us, Stephen Bobo and Danielle Andrews. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everyone, let's say goodbye to our two guests, and thank you so much for being on. We look forward to next Friday. Thank you so
thank
much.
You so thank much. You so much. Have a wonderful
have
day.
Good night. Good
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.